Across the Coast of Mayock, beloved saints. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and welcome to the news portion of our program. I must begin by apologizing for last week's computer glitch. We were not able to properly connect and therefore aired the wrong program. The good news is the correct program on the Feast of Yom Kippur is up on my webpage, shofarministries.net. Thanks for your understanding that sometimes stuff just happens. And a lot of stuff is happening in the world and far more serious. And I'll talk on that in a moment. But first, I know you must be excited that tomorrow begins the week-long feast called Tabernacles, which is also Jesus' real birthday, our topic tonight. And tomorrow night, another blood moon is coming, the second in a tetrad. Check to see what time it's at its peak in your area. But if you are in Ohio, you will be able to see it at its finest just before it sets around 6 to 6:30 a.m. Thursday morning. Perfect for us early morning risers. Now on a very serious note, as I said in the news portion last week, now on our webpage, we are entering even darker days, and the sabbatical Shemitah year has begun where history teaches that disasters do occur, particularly affecting our economy. Bible believers know America as a whole has not just turned from God, but many are openly serving the devil and proud of it. And as a result, in my humble opinion, we are in the precursor to the final seven-year judgment of Revelation. Scripture does warn us in 2 Timothy 3 of perilous times in the last days. The Greek word for perilous actually means fiercely dangerous. We really are facing many scares, like ISIS coming to America, but as well, more diseases like the enterovirus that's affecting so many children, and the disease called Ebola just beginning to infiltrate America. I recently read that terrorists will use Ebola-contaminated blood, which can be bought on the black market, to infect us here. Those who study the globalist agenda, and you've heard this, say emphatically that the population must be dramatically decreased. In fact, the Georgia Guidestones confirm that ideally it should be around 500 million. Now, that's a big drop. And if the globalists are serious in meeting that goal, Ebola might just be man-made answer, like the AIDS virus probably was as well, but death took too long. Ebola is faster. And although the CDC says it's not airborne, some experts have proof otherwise. Of course, don't forget all the money they will get when the vaccine is ready and everyone runs to drink the Kool-Aid. Do you think it odd that the CDC also owns the patent on the Ebola species and all compositions and future strains? Oh, yeah, look it up. In fact, I have its patent number, CA2741523A1. Now, you don't even need the number. Just search patent for Ebola, and it comes right up. And please do to collaborate what I'm saying. So why would the CDC claim ownership? Well, so they can claim the royalties from their vaccine they make for the disease they probably created. There is a name for this manufactured crisis called the Hegelian dialectic. This, of course, means the CDC and its affiliates stand to make billions off this vaccine solution and will make even more profit if it's mandatory for everyone, or they would face quarantine, which, by the way, our government already has many centers set up all over the United States, also called FEMA camps. And did I mention thousands of stacked coffins have been photographed on various farmlands across America? And oh, foolish me, I almost forgot to tell you who else partners with the CDC. His name is globalist Bill Gates, who gave them $50 million to share the rights to this disease. And of course, the vaccine, thereby reaping very large profits. And by the way, whistleblowers over the last few months, like ex-CIA operative Robert Steele, predicted an Ebola-related attack on America would soon be initiated. So, what should the praying Christian do? Well, try to stay on top of things, and let's use these troublesome days to our advantage to bring more lost souls into the kingdom. You know how the elites say never let a crisis go to waste? Well, we can say that too. Very soon, people will be looking to us, so be sure and be ready to have the right answers. Also, keep your energy up and your immune system healthy. Eat a lot of organic, mostly raw vegetables, while heavily decreasing your sugar and white flour intake, and take good natural minerals and vitamins while drinking reversed osmosis water. And absolutely no pop. A good immune system is a must to avoid getting really sick in these last days. And let's face it, many in the church have neglected this area. So let us all pick it up a notch, for time really is running out. Okay, well, mark your calendars. I will be teaching the end of this month on Thursday the 30th at Lakeshore Assembly of God and Mentor. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard at 7 p.m. Why not tell someone you know that might live in that area to visit? Also, donations are down, so please remember, it really is you that keeps this program going, and we especially need to be on the air during this Shemitah year. Please pray about sending any amount to Shofar Ministries, P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021, or through PayPal on our webpage. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Chag Sukkot Sameach, during this season of joy, the Feast of Tabernacles, that begins tomorrow at sundown, and it's really the birth of Jesus. And that's our topic for tonight, as we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries Hour on AM 1220 Christian Radio and on the web at whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today, with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. We pray you will be enjoying the remaining hour, learning from God's Word as we continue our study on the fall appointments of God. Before we start, I want to invite our Father, Abba, in heaven, to be with us as we broadcast tonight. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be on the air again and for keeping us on the air and using your saints to do that. I want to lift up a lot of prayer needs that have come in this week to you, specifically for a lady who's a great friend to the ministry, and she's in the hospital. And we want to lift her up to you tonight. Also, there's a man who's facing going blind with an eye condition, and I want to lift him up to you. And as always, all our family members who don't know you as Savior, we just want to lift them up to you. Draw them with your Holy Spirit. And I wanted to also lift up the leadership in our country, especially in Washington, D.C. and in the military. Lord, I know you have your people everywhere, and I know that there are Christians in Washington, and I know there are people, leaders that really want to do the right thing, but we never hear about them, and it doesn't mean they're not there. So, Lord, I just want to lift those people up to you tonight. Empower them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to shine and be great witnesses for you in these last days. And finally, Lord, I want to lift up the people, the families of those victims of shootings today, and that you would comfort them, and if they know you as Savior, Lord, that you would just visit on them a special blessing. And we ask all this in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
In the name of Yeshua, amen. Shalom and Chag Sameach to you, John, and to all the listeners tonight. I want to remind the listeners that the phone lines are open. The number is 888-677. Word.
W-O-R-D.
888-677. Word. Anyway, please call in if you have a question. If you don't want to be on the air, just give Derek your question, and he'll be giving a test. So
yeah,
there you go.
He'll run the relay right over here.
So we have been teaching on the fall festivals, or God's appointments, surrounding the great harvest. We have covered the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, Adam's birthday, Yom Kippur, the days in between. But tomorrow at sundown begins the season of joy. And I truly know that this is Jesus' real birthday.
Without a shadow of doubt.
That's true.
Seems like you're pretty convinced.
I am very convinced, absolutely. You know, there's only some things I can absolutely say I'm positively convinced. One of them is the rapture, pre-trib rapture. This is the other one.
Good to know.
There's some others, but you know what I'm saying.
That's good to know.
Okay. Well, anyway, you will see some thought-provoking evidence that is truly amazing. And you know what? It's not difficult. Just knowing that John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus is a big clue, since we know he was born at Passover. And by the way, that's confirmed because we know when his father Zechariah served in the temple that Luke is very careful to inform us of.
And it does show you how everything in God's word is there for a purpose.
Absolutely everything, even though we often miss things when casually reading.
That's right. Sheila, before we get into this deeper, why do most of us celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th?
Well, simply put, it was to accommodate the pagans. You know, Constantine decided, because he made the whole state Christian, he decided it would help bring in the pagans into Christianity if they would keep their pagan holidays, if they could keep them, even though he and his mother Helena renamed them to keep the Christians happy, who by this time most really didn't know when Jesus' birthday really was, so it just became a tradition. And now no one wants to change it, even born-again Christians. Hmm. Now, we must remember, spiritually, every day is Christmas, and we need not focus on the day because it does cause more division, but rather the fact that he was born. Now, I teach the actual day that I believe. It's mainly to show the church how detailed and precise God's plan is. And when you see this Feast of Tabernacles, you can see why he would be born during this feast. It just makes total sense. And when you know that, when you see the preciseness of God, it will help increase your faith because you really believe his word, and to see his whole plan through these seven appointments is just amazing, and it does stir up the church when you know it. And hopefully that means that you'll share the gospel and have the blessed hope, which actually means confidence in these days of peril. John, do you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22?
Yes, he said, to the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some.
That's right. So we're talking about the unbelievers here.
Right.
You wouldn't go pouncing on him saying, oh, you're not supposed to be doing Christmas on December 25th. It's a pagan holiday and it's Saturnalian or whatever else. You wouldn't do that. And he's saying, you know, you got to sometimes meet people where they're at. So they won't believe you anyhow if they're not saved, especially.
That's true.
And then you'll just have a harder time evangelizing. So.
Yeah, so don't do that.
That's right. What's better is to share why he had to be born. And during the season of December, take advantage of the softened hearts that go along with this time of year. And there are softer hearts.
And it is a good time to witness because there's the gospel is in a lot of the Christmas carols.
That's
people,
right.
And like you say, people's hearts are open and they're thinking about what is the real meaning of this and why do we sing these songs about a way in the manger and the birth of the Savior? And
that's right. What's really sad is, though, you notice most of the department stores aren't even allowed to play those kind of music. It's usually Jingle Bells and Santa Claus.
Oh, well.
It's just awful what's happening out there. It's just awful.
Well, it is.
Now, after you tell someone, you know, or want to give them the gospel, it wouldn't be wrong if you just casually mention that those who study the Hebraic roots believe he was born in the fall. But December is the tradition, so be it.
So have Christmas then.
I do, however, and I have to make this stipulation, I do put my foot down when it comes to Santa Claus.
What?
Everyone knows in our family he's not even to be mentioned. And when asked by my grandchildren about Santa, I just say he's the guy that those who don't believe in Jesus had to make up so that they could still get presents. And the kids understand that.
I guess they would.
And we also have taken back the tree from the enemy. And now we have the lights, of course, representing Jesus, the light of the world, who died on a tree. And that's what we talk about. He died for our sins. And all the lights outside on the people's houses, all are for Jesus.
Hey, amen. That's really well said. And, you know, a long time ago, when you first started teaching this, it just gave me that light bulb moment. That, especially when you said, it reminded me of John 1:14. He said, the Word became flesh to tabernacle amongst us. Great big hint there that that was during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, I don't know why most of the translations say dwell.
Well, it's mindset dwelt, so they never put two and
so,
two together.
Right, again, talking about how it's important to study, but the word is skenos, and it means tabernacle. So, the angel gave a purposeful idiomatic statement. Also, when he said, I bring you good tidings and great joy, when Jesus was born, because it was called the season of joy. And you say, well, why was it called that? Because God wanted them to be happy. So he planned the whole thing in just the right fullness of time.
So, season of joy, quote unquote, was common verbiage used during this had to be happy season, right?
Right. It was a phrase they had, and it was. They had to be happy. You could not have a, you know, a down face or anything like that. You would be going against God's law if you weren't happy.
Well, that's true. And, you know, I think the greeting Chag Sameach comes pretty close to that season of joy.
Feast of joy.
Type thing, which I said at the beginning of the program.
That's right. So did I.
And Chag means
you said it much better than me, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, my
gosh. So it's just learning the roots of our faith that's helping us to understand God's Word so we can explain it better.
That's right. And we'll see bigger clues, too.
Yeah.
But remember spiritually, again, I have to emphasize this, we have all the feasts fulfilled in our hearts because of Yeshua, and we have the kingdom of God dwelling inside of us as well, which is what Tabernacles really represents. You see, our bodies are just a temporary dwelling place.
The tabernacle. For Christ.
Exactly. Soon, we will see him face to face, which we talked about last week.
And then, we'll stay with him forever.
That's right. Amen. So, when we are born again, Jesus Christ comes in to live in our tabernacle, just like he was born in a tabernacle, also called a sukkah or a booth.
Yes, and we know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also know he wasn't born in December, right?
Yeah, for another fact. Why?
Well, because, well, we know that the shepherds would not keep their flock outside
during December
in at least Jerusalem, because that's up in the hills and it gets
cold. It gets cold at night.
And it snows there.
Sometimes it does.
Yes.
Yes, it does. And, oh, let's not forget the swaddling cloth that he was wrapped in Luke 2:7. This was a well-known custom that yearly, on the first day of this feast, the priest would bring their white linen undergarments and exchange them for new ones. And then the old ones would be used for the wicks in these very tall 75-foot candles to be lit every sundown in the front of the temple during this 8-day feast. So this white linen would be in abundance during this time. And they were called this because they swathed or wrapped the private areas of the priests underneath their overgarments and that would go over. And but they were priestly garments.
You know, and this is a great picture here because, you know, Luke makes it a point to mention that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. But it's a picture of Jesus being wrapped in priestly garments.
That's right.
And why? Because he is our priest.
That's right.
He was a king. He was born a king. He's also born a priest.
It's everything was set up since the beginning of time. Every little detail. And we see the same thing in the Feast of Passover, how he fulfilled every little detail.
Oh, that was a cute little detail.
It's just amazing. And, you know, it's also, which I just thought about, is when he was speaking and he yelled out, "Hey, I am the light of the world." It was during this feast when they were at sundown lighting the lights in front of the temple.
Right, and this was the first century thing, and there had to be a temple there. But
that's right.
But we'll get into
that. They don't do that now because there's no temple. But he chose that time to make that statement, and I can picture him yelling it.
Well, sure.
"Hey, I am the light of the world," you know?
Amen. So, I can, too.
He utilizes the times and the season to help fulfill that story that people understand better.
That's right.
Jews are storytellers.
That's right. And Yeshua used a lot of object lessons, you know, with things that were right there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the first century. What are we doing this Tabernacles?
Well, first of all, tomorrow night begins Tabernacles, okay? Mm-hmm. It's the 15th day of the 7th month of Tishrei.
Okay.
And I think I'll have you read this first, Leviticus 23, verses 39 through 43, that kind of describes it.
Okay, I'd be happy to. And that, of course, is the feast chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Also, on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the 8th day, a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves, on the first day, the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
And, of course, the Hebrew word for booth is sukkah, okay, or Sukkot. So we're going to be taking this apart because everything in there really is a picture of something. But let's do a quick recap, and then we'll go to a song.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and do some more pictures. But a quick recap is, again, right after the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, that was on the 10th of Tishrei, God's people would get ready for the next feast to start 5 days later to joyfully celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a picture of the future millennial kingdom.
Everything's a picture.
When Jesus will tabernacle physically as our King amongst us, this feast will actually usher in that glorious event and will continue to be celebrated yearly, as referenced in Zechariah 14, every year during the millennial kingdom.
That is beautiful.
So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more of that. But first, we're going to hear a beautiful song, and it's a happy birthday song to Jesus, which, again, it begins tomorrow evening.
And I knew nothing about this song until you showed it to me today.
Really?
Yep.
God gave it to me.
Well, let's listen to it. It's a beautiful song.
Happy birthday to you.
That was good.
That was good. That was cute. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I wish I could tell you who was singing that, and I can't remember his name. I apologize for that. We'll get that because we're going to be doing this Tabernacles next week probably. So
yeah, okay.
We'll get back with you on that. But first of all, I got to ask you, do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Well, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006. And we'll get that out later, too. Please leave a detailed message.
Yes. Also, again, that's the office number. That's not the number you call tonight.
Good thing.
Okay. And then, well, should we give that? No, I'll give it
we'll
to
give
you in
it
a minute.
We don't try to get you too confused here.
Yeah. By the way, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax-deductible. So if you would like this program, if you do like this program, and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
And also, if you would like advertising for your company on this program, we can do that as well. And to give us a gift for this ministry, just send your love offering or gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our webpage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side on the homepage. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so be sure to include your email or house address.
You can also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD. That's the same number that you would call if you have a question, and give Derek your information.
And remember, all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net. And you can reorder teaching, or you can order recorded teachings there as well. And just to remind you, I'll give you that phone number for your call in tonight. And it has to relate to the topic. And that number is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And remember, the first Friday of every month, we're at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe, or Route 306 in Chester.
And yes, we begin with Messianic worship there at 7 p.m. And if you were there last time, we had a ball.
Great Messianic worship.
Yes, it was fun.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
We had a good time in the Lord. Come out and join us.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, now let's get back to what we were talking about, Feast of Tabernacles. And what is the main thing, John, that they did to get ready for the Feast of Tabernacles after Yom Kippur?
Okay. Well, besides going out to the grocery store, they probably, well, the main thing is they had to build a sukkah, which is a tent-like booth. It's made from branches and leaves.
And why don't you read the scripture out of Leviticus 23:42 again?
Okay. It says, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
Right, you see, that's what it represents, is their time that they spent in the wilderness.
Right.
Okay.
It doesn't really say how to build them there, though, does it?
Well, it does in Nehemiah 8:14.
Does it?
Would you like to read that?
Sure.
Do you have it?
Yeah, got it right here. Okay. "And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, 'Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm, that's lulav, branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written.' Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God."
That's right.
Well, that is how to make them, isn't it?
That's right. And it's interesting that if you go to Israel today, they still make the booths, like, even on their little, small
balconies?
Balconies, thank you. Yes, and it's fun to see that. I was there during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, and you can see that in cities today, too, in America still.
Yeah, it was just awesome. Everybody was happy. They had booths all over the place, all the restaurants. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Oh, you're so blessed of being able to,
it was good to, be,
to go there at that particular time. Yeah.
By the way, I do want to mention, now that I'm thinking about that, that if you go to the webpage icej.org, you can see the live streaming event that the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem put on every Feast of Tabernacles, and it's like I think almost every night, but I remember the time change. So, but if you go there and sign up, they'll tell you the hours and all that. It's icej.org if you want to see live streaming of the festival.
So you can be there virtually.
It's awesome.
That is awesome, because we can do that with computers nowadays. You couldn't do that before.
That's right.
That's great.
So again, icej.org, and they'll tell you what to do.
That's really cool. And what else about these sukkahs?
Well, they needed to be able to see the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And remember Genesis said the sun, moon, and stars were also for signs?
Yes.
We talk about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the stars would be a sign to the wise men, who were very wise, Jewish sages, by the way.
Hello.
From Babylon, east of Jerusalem.
They weren't these magicians or
no.
astrologers or...
Of course not. Do you think they'd be reading the Bible?
Of course not.
No.
Course
no, these
not.
Were actually Jewish sages, and there was still a Jewish presence in Babylon at this time.
Well, there
in
was
fact,
a very big presence back then, because most of them didn't return.
That's right.
You know, so a lot of them stayed there, so there was a...
And Peter even addressed to the saints in Babylon. I think it was Peter. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think it was one of those.
Yeah. So that's even more the reason, too, that we believe that these were Jewish sages.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they possibly were even sleeping in booths when they saw the star in the east, which is why they have to be able to see the heavens, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's recorded in Matthew 2. And actually prophesied centuries before in Numbers 24:17. And I'll just let the people look that up and read the whole thing in context.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing.
And just like Jesus will come from the east when he returns.
Yeah, in Revelation 19.
You see that in Revelation 19. So that's pretty cool too,
yeah.
Huh?
Star from the east.
Star from the east.
Luke states Jesus was placed in a manger, or really that word is fattening. It means a feeding trough.
Hmm.
So, obviously, it was a place where animals were also kept, but it was more likely a sukkah, where they would also keep animals, and they ate out of troughs, which Jesus was placed in.
Mm-hmm.
You see, a sukkah was a mandatory outbuilding for Jewish families to dwell in during this week, as we've already said.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also then used for animals the rest of the year. You know, they took advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's a scripture in Exodus, no, not Exodus, it's Genesis 33:17. I think I underlined that for you in your Bible. Would you read that?
Sure. And this is about Jacob, so we'll think back to Jacob
yes.
here. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, that's the name of the town,
yeah.
built himself a house and made booths, which would have been Succoth in Hebrew, for his livestock.
That's right.
Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth.
Yeah, there was a place.
Yeah.
So anyway, they had to be able to look out the roof, as I said, and see the heavens. It was a reminder of how God took them out of the wilderness, took care of them in the wilderness, I should say.
Yes.
So Jesus, too, was fulfilling this requirement, as he did all of them, by the way,
mm-hmm.
by his birth, being born in a booth. So, again, that was all arranged by God way ahead of time that he would fulfill, since he would be alive
mm-hmm.
during this time.
And that's why you say this is important, not to say that that when he was born was important, but how much God went, the trouble that God went through to make sure he was born right on this date.
Yes.
And this was such a picture.
Oh,
you know, and how God
huge.
Prearranges these things. And this is what makes the Bible, and this is what makes our God an awesome God.
It is. It
and
really
you know what?
Is.
If you think that was good, we haven't even got to the real meat.
No, there's a lot more going here.
Yeah.
But that's what I say. Don't ignore this, people. If you're listening to this program, for goodness sakes, tell somebody. You know?
Yeah.
Even if you think you're not going to be able to explain it, tell them to go to my webpage and listen to it themselves. You know?
And you can stop it and pause it, et cetera.
That's right. That's
you can
really
fast forward
way.
Through.
Yes, it yeah. really is a good way to learn.
Okay.
Well, all right. You want some real meat, you
yes,
said, huh?
Yes, I did. I said that was just a taste, what we had there, but there's some. Let's get into the heavier part of this.
Okay. Well, as I already said, we really can be sure that Jesus was born during this season by just knowing when John the Baptist was conceived.
Yeah, you said you know that you know that you know
yes.
that you know.
In Luke 1, we are told that Elizabeth conceived immediately after her husband Zacharias was told by an angel of the Lord in the temple that Elizabeth would finally have a child and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was so happy. Since we know that he served in the eighth week of the Jewish biblical calendar, as his course of Abijah did. He was of the course of Abijah that served the eighth week of every, I think that would have been, would that be Nisan or the other one?
It was definitely the
eighth week in the beginning of that calendar. But you can read about that in 1 Chronicles 24:10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it confirms that. Now, you always add any feasts that fall into that time. And so the Feast of Passover was during this time
mm-hmm.
when they would all serve.
And that's a week there, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to the week just before Pentecost.
Ah, okay. So this is all documented, you could say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like God to have John the Baptist conceived during Pentecost.
Sure.
Since he would be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Of course.
I mean, it's just...
That is so right on.
It's so fitting.
Yeah, that is cool.
We also know by Luke 1:36 that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary told her she too would have a child. So therefore, that would have been during Hanukkah.
And get this, 9 months later, it's Tabernacle.
That's right. Voila, I'd like to say. But that's pretty easy, don't you think?
Well, so it is, but why don't more Christians know this?
Well, in my opinion, it's because they don't want to study their Hebraic roots. It takes them out of their comfort zone a little bit from what they've always been taught. Or sometimes the devil just speaks to their ear and says, it's way too hard, you don't want to go there.
Hmm.
And solid Christians have even admitted to me they don't want to add that, for it's too deep.
Too deep.
Huh. Remember that scripture in Hosea 4:6? It says, my people are, well, the Hebrew word is dama, for lack of knowledge. Most people say destroyed, most
translations.
But it doesn't mean destroyed, as we know that word. It actually, the word dama, number 1820, means dumb or silent.
So my people are dumb or silent for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have the knowledge, you don't know what to say.
You can't share something you
can't
don't
share
know.
Something. And that word dhamma is number 1820 in your Strong's for those that are...
Yes, look it up. Don't take my word for it. But
exactly.
Because otherwise, you know, you think destroyed, you think killed or something.
Right.
It's not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because my people... are dumb or made silent because of their lack of knowledge.
Exactly.
My people, he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Not talking about the world there. That's for
right.
sure.
So hopefully that will spark y'all. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I counted the days between the eighth day of Hanukkah and the first day of Tabernacles. And it's exactly 280 days,
mm-hmm.
the normal time of gestation. So that means... He was incarnated into Mary on the little Feast of Lights and as a little person and born on the greater Feast of Lights, fully developed, of course,
mm-hmm.
hence the light of the world. Don't you see how it was so, so well planned out by God? Because he wanted it to be this way. You see, Hebraic roots connects the dots, saints. Please, again, re-listen to this program. And should be on our web tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. And be sure to share it with your friends and loved ones.
And make sure it gets down to your children, too. And tomorrow, if you can't build a sukkah, I would suggest making a birthday cake for Jesus.
Or maybe replay that song that they heard.
Or replay the song. You can make a birthday cake.
That's right.
You know, you can do this kind of stuff, and it's a great object lesson.
It's sundown to sundown, Wednesday to Thursday.
How about that?
How about that? All right, we can go on a little bit longer.
Do I have time to mention that film about
Tabernacles?
Please
do. Please
I wanted to mention this, that you can find this film in the library. It was a winner of an international film competition. It's an Israeli film. It's called Ushpizin, and that is spelled U-S-H-P-I-Z-I-N, and that's Aramaic for guests. And it's about a sukkah and a family and the guests that they have during this time of year, and you'll get to see them do all kinds of fun stuff in that movie.
Spell that again.
Okay, that's U-S-H-P-I-Z-I-N. Yes, U-S-H-P-I-Z-I-N.
Ushpizin.
That's it.
And it means
guests. You'll get to see them wave the lulav and
all that stuff, too. Really good.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, and it's English subtitled, so you get to hear the Hebrew language and read the English along with it. It's a very well-acted movie, too. It won awards.
So. All right.
Thank you for throwing that in.
All right, now other names for tabernacles is dedication. The Feast of Dedication, because King Solomon dedicated the first temple, which, by the way, was called the Tabernacle in the Wilderness. And it was during Sukkot that he did that, and you can read about that in 1 Kings 3.
So the first dedication really wasn't Hanukkah, was it? It was the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
That's one thing you got to get.
Yeah, Hanukkah wasn't around yet.
Yeah, wasn't then yet. That's back in King Solomon's time. It wasn't then. It wasn't there.
That's right. So the sukkah or booth, again, symbolizes man's need to depend upon God for his provision of food, water, and shelter, just like the Israelites did. This is true in the spiritual realm as well. The booth is a type of the physical body, a temporary dwelling place for our souls and spirits.
You can see that if you want to look these scriptures up, this is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20.
Yes. And we need the food that the Word of God provides.
Now, here's where you would want to check out Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 11, and 4, verse 4, and then John, chapter 6, verses 33 through 35.
That's right. And then the cleansing, rinsing, and water that the Word of God brings to us.
And we know that's Ephesians 5, 26, right?
That's right. And the shelter of God's protection over our lives from the evil one.
And that Matthew 6:13 and Psalm 91.
That's right. So our physical needs will be provided for by God if we seek him spiritually, of course, through his word and prayer.
That's right. And that's in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. And when you re-listen to the program later, you'll be able to catch all those scriptures.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So another idiom for this week is called the Feast of Ingathering. Exodus 23:16 talks about that because it's the gala time when the fruits, the produce of the field, the orchard, the vineyard are gathered in, the granaries, threshing floors, and the wine and olive presses are full to capacity. That makes the farmer very happy.
He's worked
a long time to see that. And, of course, the greatest thing is the tares are destroyed.
Now, there's a huge picture clue right there of the enemy's destruction.
That's right.
In the millennial kingdom.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Weeks and months of toil and sweat have finally been amply rewarded. The sowing farmer, again, feels happy during the season of joy and very elated, which is why they call it the season of rejoicing, too.
Yeah, the season of our joy. And isn't it so fitting, and just like God, that Yeshua would be born at this time?
I can't imagine him being born any other time.
I can't either.
You know?
I can't either, because God does everything in a way that shows us a picture and is also in his timing, and it makes... He's an awesome God. What can we say?
I know. Not too much, huh?
Ah,
Well, I don't think we're going to have time to explain all this, but there is another common ceremony, and it's even done in the United States by mm-hmm. Messianics and the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
and it's called the waving of the lulav, like mm-hmm. you said it would be in that movie.
Yes.
But maybe you can at least read Leviticus 23:40-41, and then next week we'll delve into this
a little bit, yes. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day, the feast obviously, the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
That's right. So, since the palm branch, or the lulav, was the stiffest and most prominent element of the four species, the whole ceremony was called the waving of the lulav. And again, we'll come back with that and when we come back next week.
Okay, and we'll describe that a little bit. And it is a neat ceremony.
It really is.
Are we out of time?
Just about.
Oh, my goodness, that went fast.
And we don't want to ever leave without giving someone a chance to commit their life to Christ or recommit.
That's right. And listener, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, maybe you have him compartmentalized and you have him over some parts of your life, now is a good time to have him Lord of your entire life. And to do that, it's easily done. We suggest get on your knees.
It's very important. It's a humbling.
It's a humbling thing. And he hears you. Repent. Tell him that you know that you're a sinner. Agree with him that you are a sinner. And just tell him about those individual, he knows already, but tell him about those individual sins that have been keeping you in bondage. He can really do something about it. You can't, but he can. And you know these sins are weighing you down. Then just commit or recommit your life to Yeshua right there on your knees. Are you doing that right now? We're praying that you are. Now, he's your Savior. He's the Savior of the whole world. And you have not done anything so bad that you cannot be saved. I don't care what it is, because he is a forgiver of sin. And remember, it's always your choice. And please choose him. That's what we're praying, that you will choose Yeshua tonight as your Savior. God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. Your soul never dies. It's going to be eternal, and your soul has to go somewhere. There's only two places, and it's with God or with Satan. We know you're going to make the right decision tonight.
That's our prayer. And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. He doesn't want anyone to perish, and judgment is very near. Now, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22 in his perfect language first?
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m. Join us next Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For those who love her, Jerusalem shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's Psalm 122:6.
See you next week.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.